Texas. I'm John Clemens.
President Trump has told Russia not to meddle in the next election. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham tells CBS's Face the Nation that the president's approach to Vladimir Putin was proper.
I'm not so sure rebuking Putin in front of a bunch of cameras does much good. What hurts him is when you hit him in the pocketbook, his oligarch friends are having a hard time placing their money around the world. We put tremendous sanctions on the Russian economy, particularly in the energy area, and it's biting Russia. So actions mean more than anything in this part of the world.
Take us with you on your computer or mobile device and listen anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
The local weather here at HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Today's sunny, high near 84, clear on the overnight, low around 65. Tuesday, slight chance of showers between 9 and 3. Chance of precip about 20%. Slight chance of showers Tuesday night and thunderstorms, mainly before 3 in the morning. Wednesday looks like, again, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 9 a.m. into the night. Could be a little bit of rain on the 4th also, but you never know. Looks like more of the same right through the week. A little bit of rain every day. 79 degrees outside our studios right now. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Chef Bill's Table. Your host, Bill Kinslow, here. Chef at Jake's Restaurant in Flemington, New Jersey. Serving our neighbors for over 28 years. So, we got the 4th of July coming up. Big day, right? Big celebration day. Good day to hopefully get outside, even if it's raining a little bit. If you have a porch or a tent, hopefully things are clear at some point for your gathering. Get excited about barbecue. Love barbecue. Love cooking outside. And I think the chefs, we depend a lot, in the kitchen with timers and thermostats and things like that, recipes. But we still rely on techniques. And I think that the more you have good technique, the less you need some of these other things. Cooking outside, of course, timing is good for planning. In other words, knowing how long, say, a roast or something needs to cook, or fond memories of outdoor cooking, a whole hog barbecue, I guess you could call it, split it and keep turning it over. A lot of people just use a closed smoker, indirect cooking. which does fine. But splitting it open, of course, speeds up the time a little bit. But flipping it and basting it, and it's about the the camaraderie and hanging out, or maybe doing some other things. You're prepping your side dishes or making a sauce, things like that that can kind of go on while the food is cooking when you're doing a large cut. And low and slow, of course, is preferred. Take your time and let the roast or whatever you're doing just take its time and develop. But when you're cooking like that, most people have a gas grill now, and you turn it on, you let it warm up, and it's over. It's radiant heat. It's like cooking in a restaurant or in a kitchen with a broiler. You could do indirect, but it's pretty convenient. You can, you're missing that smoke flavoring. When wood was the primary fuel source, of course, you couldn't help but getting some smoke flavoring in there, right? And now, and smoking, cold smoking especially, was a way between the brining and the curing and the smoking was a way of preservation. And now, like many things now that used to be done for preservation, now we do for flavor. We like the flavor of smoked foods. Although you don't have to have too much smoke. Everybody, kind of had your own level. I've grilled or barbecued chickens over hardwood charcoal, which you're not getting a lot of smoke flavor. But I've also over wood, different types of wood, or done it even in a wok, a stovetop smoker, where you really infuse the flavor with some dampened wood chips. Closest environment like that. But barbecue for 4th of July, or we think of it as a cookout sometimes. Barbecue is one of those terms that can mean a few different things. It's a style of cooking, let's say. It can be a lot of times now it's referred to it when you have a sauce, if you're barbecuing something, a lot of time you can slow cook it, you can do it in your oven, still call it barbecue because of the sauce, but it was also an event. And historically, back in the early days of our country, there were often political events put on by the candidates or the the towns or cities, whatever. It was a community gathering. And of course, there was probably a lot of alcohol consumed, a lot of speeches and toasts and things like that. But it was truly where, across all economic and racial lines, everybody participated. Everybody got to join in. And it's, if you ever watch that Man Fire Food TV show, where first thing always starts with building a fire. And I tell you, there's more. You talk about how many ways can you to do the same thing. See some real neat contraptions on there and setups. People things hanging with strings, and you've got pulleys and chains and gears to lift things up and down and boxes that you pile coals on top of. There's no end to cooking outside. And, of course, in early parts, natives of this country and the Caribbean and North America and I'm sure South America, their cooking was that. It's open fire and something you needed if you're making your grate with wood, of course, it had to be green wood so it wouldn't burn, but you make some kind of crisscross pattern. Sometimes things were just put on sticks. I think in South America, oftentimes they're just kind of split open the animal of choice and put it on a stick and lean it up on the perimeter of the fire. You have to turn it a few times, but you've got that indirect heat. And that was the way, people didn't have kitchens, really. And if you needed to feed a large group of people, you were cooking outside. But I think that just that basic lighting a fire, having the patience, let it burn and get down to coals, and then without thermostats, just the skill of the cook, finding your right heat zone, the timing, the temperature, the whole thing. It's takes a little bit more skill. You're not relying on buzzers and beepers and timers and things like that. But at any rate, 4th of July, of course, barbecue is enjoyed year-round, not only in restaurants, but as outdoor events. I remember in Lake Placid, that was for large conventions way back before some of the bigger hotels were able to handle it. If you needed to cook for a large group, you did it outside. Gentleman I worked with, Trader Al Conway, he would, the Olympic Arena, the old one, might be where people were eating, but they didn't have a kitchen big enough to serve, say, 1,000 people. So you built pits and you cooked your meat outside and then brought it in, sliced it up, and served it. I have fond memories of that. If we did roast beef, it would be large chunks of the round, and we would season them a little bit overnight, used actually some little mustard and maybe a tiny bit of our sauce. The sauce we made wasn't cooked. It wasn't real sweet. You don't really want to sauce your product too early with a sweet sauce because it'll burn too much. Caramelizes the sugar and actually prevents the meat from cooking. But we would do a quick marinade overnight for that. Very lean meat, the round, but, of course, for serving and slicing, it's very easy to do. And then just keep turning. You know, we didn't use rotisseries or anything like that. You just had to keep turning it, and you check the temperature, and then you had the resting time, and you could handle a lot of people, at least the roast part, without the indoor kitchen. In other countries, too, everybody's got their version of it. The Australians call it the Barbie. Of course, in Europe, Spain, barbacoa, Italy, France, any country, around the Mediterranean, the Greeks, cooking outside. I mean, I've done something as simple as quick as a juice can with some vents cut in it and some little tinder underneath just to cook a quick hamburger or a small cube steak. Used to do that in Scouts. We had to fend for ourselves and cook our own food. Or it can be something like a brisket, which we're going to talk about today, that could take hours and hours. But again, it's about hanging out. If you have the day off, have people over. You know, you can have some other snacks and things beforehand, which we usually like to do, and then the main event comes out, and it can be an all-day affair. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we're going to just go get some ideas for a 4th of July barbecue, something beyond burgers and dogs. Chef Bill's Table. Are you gathering up the tea?
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Get on up.
Everybody right there.
Get into it.
Everybody right there.
Get
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Chef Bill's table. I'm going to talk about barbecue. Oh, the other in New Orleans, of course, barbecue shrimp is totally different than any of these other things, which is done in a pan, the whole shrimp with the shell on and a spicy butter sauce. That's what, so with barbecue, again, many styles and all different parts of the country. So, of course, again, the gas grills are convenient. I really do like to light the fire live coals, whether you're using the briquettes. Sometimes the quick light ones, they've got lighter fluid in it. If you use those, you really have to let those burn off quite a bit. And what we used to do with the even the regular charcoal is with the coals, you see that nice gray ash forming on there. Now, when you put food on there, if it starts to drip a little fat or any liquid, it can flare up, and then that dust just goes over everything. So what we would do is remove the grate from the grill and spritz it with water. If it was a big pit, of course, we'd use the hose. People would thought we're putting the fire out, which you really can't at that point. It's too hot. But you just have to calm the fire down a little bit, get rid of that ash, and, of course, it will come rumbling back at you. No problem there. Probably the most versatile, the round kettle, I guess Weber's a brand. There's, you know, and you see now these new grills, griddles, all sorts of things for cooking outside. The round kettle is, for me, the most versatile because you can also use it as a smoker, those deeper ones if you like. You could use them as a direct grill. You can use indirect. You can smoke. You can just roast without the smoke if you use just a clean charcoal. If you like the wood chips, put them in. And for many of your larger cuts of meat with what we call indirect heat, of course, the pros use the firebox called a stick burner. The firebox is on the side, and the heat kind of goes into the chamber with the smoke. With the kettle, you've got ways to regulate it. Some of them come with thermometers on them, at least, so you can get a reading on the air temperature, and vents that you can use to control the airflow. If you seal it off too much, then, of course, cuts the air, and that will put your fire out eventually. You're not without oxygen, you're not going to get anything burning. So you have to make sure your vents are set properly. And if there's a thermometer on there, of course, you can watch your temperature. If not, we've done, even with an oven thermometer, just stick it in the hole of the vent and take a temperature. You really want that slow cooking between 225, not more than 250. 225 is probably best. You can go as low as 200. Of course, it will take you a little bit longer, but we like our slow cookers in the restaurant. We set at 250. They're actually called reconvectors. They're a little more humid environment. They're on timers. That's what I mean. You know, they've got set it and forget it type stuff. But we've done smoking out in the back. We use the kettle. And nice thing with that, if you're doing a larger roast, too, is you put a water pan in there. Of course, the water, the drip pan, keeps some moisture in there, and then you collect the drippings, and, of course, whatever's in there, you can use as a base for a sauce. You've got some nice bowl of flavor there. So that's one of the advantages to this. And as I say, you light the fire, whether you're using the chimney or an electric starter, newspaper, but you need to be patient. You don't right away, especially if you're using wood, you don't want to cook over the flames. You want it down to coals. And if you're doing something, a long project like a brisket, you may have a second area where you've got some other coals already being preheated. So what are we going to cook? Now, one of my favorites, I'll do, you know, we'll do the burgers and dogs, and those are kind of more like appetizers. I do like a good steak. And for me, the go-to, a nice certified Angus. You don't have to go prime. You get a CAB or a Sterling Silver, one of those upper brands like the butcher shop sells there up in Clinton, the well-marbled. The strip steak core is the best. I cut them thick, cook them rare, let them rest, and then slice them. It's kind of like they do in the steakhouse. Porterhouse, of course, if you want to go a little upgrade from that, because you get some tenderloin, a very nice thick porterhouse, the Fiorentina. They throw it right on the coals, and that is very like what we would call a Pittsburgh, nice and charred on the outside and very, very rare, almost raw in the middle. But again, these steaks, you're letting them rest, and then you're slicing them. Now, if somebody needs the meat done a little bit more, you can always flop it back on the grill. Another good one to think of for a group is the full sirloin. And a flat bone or pin bone sirloin is the one. Because you can usually get those are cut right across the whole hip. Usually there's a little tenderloin if you get the pin bone one. The round bone is more toward the leg. That's going to be the least tender, but there's three. There's pin bone, flat bone, and the round bone. Look for the cut that says loin. The primal cut has to be on the label. You want something from the loin, even if it says London broil. You don't want round. Round is different. It's good. It's leaner, but probably not as good for grilling or direct heat method. Tri-tip, another cut from the sirloin, makes another nice little roast if you want something to cook off and then slice. And I like this rather than handling individual steaks, especially for a group. First of all, you're having other things. Everybody doesn't need to eat a full big steak. Then you've got to handle temperatures, doneness, and timing. You want to serve it hot. I think with the roast, with a larger cut, you can let it rest. It doesn't have to be piping hot. You want to actually let the juices settle. Let's say you can always flash it, cook it a little bit more if you need to, but you want to give it time to rest. Now, these are more for what we would call grilling, although the barbecue can still be an event. You can have nice sauces with it. You don't need gravy. These are like cold sauces, either a salsa, a chimichurri, some kind of herb sauce, or even a, you don't really need a barbecue sauce. You could make your own steak sauce, whatever you like, but something that just could be like a little dip or something on the side. You're not going to smother the meat with it. Another nice cut, probably a little more global than beef, would be a lamb. A nice leg of a lamb, butterflied. I know you could roast the whole thing tied up if you like. Treat your grill like an oven and barbecue that way. But the butterflied leg is a little bit quicker. And some recipes call for pounding it so it's even thickness. What I like about the leg of lamb is you have some uneven thicknesses. So you've got some rare, you've got some medium rare, you've got some well done, like a tenderloin. I mean, tenderloin is, you know, most elegant, but really we're looking, I like to save the tenderloin for Christmas. This is summertime. I want a little more flavor. But a leg of lamb is great for if you got 8 or 10 people. You can marinate it if you like or not, just season it. And as I say, get it grilled, use your meat thermometer, get the temperature that you like, and then you can slice the different muscles across the grain. And it's a delightful roast, like the most tender steak. American lamb especially is usually grain-finished, so it's got a milder flavor to it. If you like to buy something local, of course, lamb and pork are probably the easiest things to find from a local farmer or butcher. And it's a real treat. I know we don't serve enough of it in this country, and it can get kind of pricey for lamb chops, things like that. But A nice leg of lamb for a showpiece, for a barbecue, I think that would fit the bill. Now, if beef's not your thing, of course, pork seems to be universal with barbecue. And we do our ribs, we do our pulled pork, ribs, baby back, or St. Louis. St. Louis from further down the rib, a little bit meatier, a little takes a little longer to cook them, but a little more flavor. The baby back, right from the loin, think of the part of the pork chop that now is, if you take the bones off a pork chop or pork loin, that's your back ribs. Those could be cooked a little bit quicker. And sometimes a little bit more money for those, but if time is one of your concerns or tenderness, the back ribs are the way to go. What I like, though, and I used them in my restaurant in Lake Placid years ago. I used to do a one-pound pork chop, but I would use the country rib. So that's really the part of the pork loin. What do they say? It's a rib that wants to be a pork chop. And you'll see them in the grocery stores. So when you get a whole pork loin, you've got your center cut or your full loin, but there's shoulder chops. There's 3 to 6 bones on the other end of the loin that it's not really a full round pork chop. A little more fat in it. You're getting into the shoulder there like we use for pulled pork, but still tender enough to cook relatively quickly. Now what I used to do is, of course, I would cut 1 pound portions literally, and I would get them cooked first and then finish them with the sauce. They weren't really smoked or anything like that, but very good, very tender, and economical. So country ribs, if you don't want so much bone, you want a little bit more meat, I think they even sell them boneless also. That's your way to get that little moisture, good pork flavor, not so quite so lean as a pork chop or a tenderloin. So you've got, very flavorful. We'll take on the nice sauces, whether vinegar-based or tomato-based or mustard-based, anything like that, would be well with the do well to seek out the country ribs. And then, of course, if you're seafood, salmon works well. Of course, in our Northwest, that was probably the meal of choice. Nice one, the wild salmon. Skin on, please, when you're doing the fillets. Don't do the steaks with the skin around the outside. You want the skin on them. So the skin will go on the grill. That will cook the salmon through. You could use, again, indirect heat. You could smoke. Hot smoked is very good. Some wood chips in there. Add some nice flavor to it. And another cut that works very well is swordfish. And you see these always on steakhouse menus. But this swordfish, you're going to use a 4-pounder. And we'll talk about that, how to do that, actually. So there's many, many possibilities. As I said, besides hamburgers and hot dogs, I think we cook something big and slice it up and have your side dishes. We've got a break for news, and I'm going to tackle this brisket and lamb leg. What else? Oh, maybe even turkey or chicken, Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Officers at one of the busiest southern U.S. border crossings dealing with an angry mob just hours ago. U.S. border agents in Texas say the unruly group of people from El Salvador and Cuba were rushing the port of entry at the border in El Paso. Reports are the agents had to fire tear gas to get the mob to back off. The port of entry has since reopened. A report in the New York Times claims the White House is considering a deal where North Korea would stop production of new nuclear material in an effort to jumpstart negotiations on denuclearization. The National Security Advisor John Bolton denies the report. Retired Army General Stanley McChrystal says when it comes to North Korea, the U.S. probably should lower its expectations.
If we can maintain stability, I think that's about as good as we get.
And this is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
All right, we're back at the table here, back at Chef Bill's table. So barbecue, so brisket, again, Roger and Bernadette said is their new, seems to be the new favorite. That's the challenge. That's the one that's that could take all day. And I guess the people that get their new cookers, that's the ultimate test, right? Got to have some patience. So the brisket, and you can get the point or you can get the flat. The flat's very lean, and I think if you're going to do it, do the whole thing. It's get 10 to 12 pounds, and, of course, get a good quality brisket, too. If you want to go for Angus, I know some of the competitors, they even use the Wagyu. That's probably a little bit too marbled. The thing with brisket is there's fat that does melt out of it, and there's fat that stays in it. That's the beauty of it. That's why some chefs are using the brisket in their ground beef mix for hamburgers, because you've got the flavor of some of the fat stays in there. It doesn't all leak out. So the important thing to the brisket is going to have some fat on it. You want to trim the fat. You need some fat on there to keep it moist during cooking, but you don't need 2 inches of it. So you want to trim the fat to about a quarter of an inch, just a nice coating on it. And then kosher salt and fresh brown ground pepper. You can season it liberally. Probably an hour before you're going to cook it, you put the seasoning on. Now, you don't want to salt it too early because it will start to cure. It will start drawing moisture out of the meat. So I think no more than an hour. Otherwise, and I would not do an overnight with the salt. We'll save that for when we do salmon, right? Do the cure. So if you're doing charcoal grill, of course, you're going to need to do a few rounds of charcoal. So either you have a chimney starter off to the side or maybe a second grill that you're feeding into the main one. So you want coals, you want a drip tray, and you're going to put the coals around the edge of the cooker and then the drip tray in the middle, or if you have the smoker or the coals are on the bottom, the water pan is above that. But make sure your temperature is around 225, let's say no more than 250, and you'll do that by adjusting your vents. So after your coal, or if you're doing it on the grill indirectly, you want to maybe turn off the center burner and use the two on the side, or turn one burner on and place the brisket toward your cool zone there. And you close the lid, and, of course, most of them have a thermometer anyway, so you can maintain your temperature easily. Now, you're not going to get the smoke flavor unless you put a little pan in there with some chips on it over the fire and let those get going. And you could do this initially if you want to infuse it with smoke and then back off from it. You don't need to have it smoking the whole time. In a closed environment, and especially the gas-fired or electric smokers that are used, this is what happens. The smoke, you don't need that much. Some of them use little pellets that infuse the chamber with smoke, and because it's not circulating by any convection, it's not leaking out, puts the smoke in quicker, pretty intense. Because you do want to taste the meat. You don't want to just taste smoke. So the low fire, and it's going to take a few hours, probably you want to get it to about 195, 200 degrees internal temperature. So this could take 3, 4, 5, 6 hours, something like that, probably 6 hours. And what a lot of times the competitors do is when the brisket reaches a certain, even as low as, say, 170, 180 degrees, they will then wrap it in foil, and then you can kind of finish it over low heat, use your grill like an oven, or you could actually finish it in the oven. But that will keep the moisture in there, and then you don't have so much active time as far as rotating it, turning it, and tending the fire. So this way, again, you could finish it in the oven or use your grill as an oven, 250 degrees, wrapped in foil. So it would take, you know, another couple, 3 hours after that, but you don't have to watch it so closely. But 5 to 6 hours on the grill over the coals will give you that smoky flavor, and then you're just finishing it off. And while you're doing the brisket, of course, then you can work on your other things that are going to happen. Obviously, if you've tied up the grill with the brisket, you're not going to be grilling anything else right there. So it's just like when we're cooking dinner inside, as when the meat's resting stage there, which could be, if you're resting it in a slow oven, could be a couple of hours. If you're just resting it wrapped in foil, you know, at least an hour. Let the juices settle. And you could be making your sauce. Grilling vegetables is always nice to do. I know we like to have salads and things like that. But grilling vegetables, eggplant, peppers, squash, onions, or even scallions if you like milder onion, mushrooms. What we like to do is just brush them with olive oil after they're washed and trimmed. But we'll do big, like the eggplants or zucchini, will do big slices, big slabs. And then after they're grilled, you let them rest. You're going to hit them with your dressing at that point when they're hot. And then we just cut them into the bite-sized pieces. This way it's easier. It's less handling on the grill. Things don't fall through. If you're grilling onions, I mean, you could split the onion in half and do them just like that, almost like baking them. I've done thick slices where I'll put toothpicks through there and hold them together. Grilled barbecued onion slabs are pretty tasty. And get that onion, you want, you know, a little bit, not cooked all the way so they're totally soft. You get that little bit of undercooked in the middle, but that nice caramelized outside does well. The grilled vegetables, always a nice accompaniment to your barbecue. So say, you know, brisket, a little intimidating. I don't have enough time for a brisket. Obviously, the steaks, some of the smaller cuts, leg of lamb would work well. I think the lamb would be a real treat. So say you've got, you know, a 5, 6, 7 pound boneless leg of lamb. They usually come tied. If you get a bone-in leg, then of course you'll have to use a little butchering skills or have the butcher bone it out for you in just what they call butterfly. So it's coming off the bone. It's all in one big piece, and you've got your round and your sirloin part, and some are thicker, some are thinner. And as I said, you can use a meat mallet and pound it out a little bit if you want to get a little bit more uniform thickness. But with this one, we would use a simple marinade. because, say, the leg is pretty lean, so we're going to call this a garlic vinaigrette. And simple, you know, the 3-to-1, 3/4 cup of olive oil, 1/4 cup of red wine vinegar, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. You can also salt the lamb a little bit more after you put it on the grill. Crush a couple of cloves of garlic. And for herb flavor, of course, mint, oregano, fresh rosemary, any of those things will work. If you want to save the herb for later, that's fine. But I think the mint, oregano, even some nice flat-leaf parsley in there would be good. So this marinade here, you want this no more than 2 hours outside the fridge. If you're doing it overnight, you can. But I wouldn't. You don't leave it too much longer than that. You do have a little vinegar there. You don't want to get the meat mushy. And this would give you a good flavored lamb leg. And again, your sauce with it, if you'd like to do some kind of pesto, some kind of salsa, a mustard-based sauce, any of these things would work, any kind of, or your favorite barbecue sauce. But a grilled butterflied leg of lamb, let's say just you do it slow. You don't have to do the high heat like you would a steak. Take your time with it, but maybe a little bit less time, quite a bit of less time than the brisket. You're probably talking, 15-20 minutes aside for rare, if you're doing the direct heat. Otherwise, it would take you a little bit longer, but shouldn't take longer than an hour for a nice leg of lamb. Now for the fish, the swordfish, pretty interesting. The thick swordfish steak that you would actually slice instead of serving individual steaks. Swordfish, of course, makes great kebabs. If skewers are your thing, I mean, don't rule that out. If you want to do something quick, nice skewers are always good. You could, you got swordfish, shrimp. Grilled vegetables. When I'm doing kebabs, I like to do the vegetables separately. People can kind of have their choice of proteins. Chicken thighs work very well. Pork tenderloin. Again, lamb cubes or beef cubes on the kebab. But I think the lamb, pork, or chicken would be good to marinate and do if you want the kebabs. But anyway, the swordfish, we'll take you want a 4-pound piece of swordfish, so it's going to be at least 2 inches thick, and this will have the skin on. Of course, it's going to be a cross cut for the probably of the at least one quadrant. You need 1/4 pound of melted unsalted butter and then some kosher salt. So what we're going to do with this, of course, you have your grill ready, the swordfish, you're going to brush it with the melted butter and do a good liberal sprinkling of kosher salt on it. You should almost see the salt on there. And you'll put it in the refrigerator. Let it chill for about 10 minutes or so. Then take it out and do the other side the same way. Some melted butter. The butter is going to solidify. The swordfish, of course, is cold, so the butter will solidify. So this salt is not really going to go into the fish. It provides kind of a crust while you're grilling it. So another 10 minutes for the other side. And then over the grill it goes. And should be 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes on a side. You can check it with the temperature. Again, it depends. I mean, if it's a good 2 inches thick, it's going to take, probably a total time, 15 minutes or so, no more than 20. But the salt will form a crust. It won't be too salty in the fish. And you can slice and serve this just like meat. So another thought, if you're not, if you want seafood, if you're not inclined to have meat as your protein. We've got a break for a couple of messages here. We'll come back and finish up our thoughts for 4th of July barbecue.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Table here at WHCRDB, Sheffield's Table. So, barbecuing. Oh, I know we mentioned lamb leg. Something we've done before at the restaurant. May have to search a little bit to get the cut. We'll probably order them from a butcher. Lamb ribs, called Denver ribs, normally. And a little rack of, they're about a pound or so each. And they cook up pretty quickly. I mean, I've slow cooked them, treated them like pork ribs barbecued with the rub, maybe, you know, get a little bit different sauce on them. But lamb ribs are, if you like ribs and you want something a little easier to handle, you know, something different, seek out the Denver ribs. They could be grilled maybe, you know, 15 minutes aside. Put a little seasoning or rub on there if you like. Or you could slow cook them. It would take probably around, you know, 40 minutes or so if you wanted to do the indirect method. Indirect would probably be best. Get them nice and tender, and then you can always flash them at the end with your sauce. And again, the flavor of lamb, of course, might lend itself to something beyond the traditional ketchup or tomato-based barbecue sauce. Here's where you can experiment a little bit. You could, again, a basting sauce, a vinaigrette or a pesto or an herb sauce, a nice, still think of that nice Israeli chopped salad, something to think about in the warm weather. And we did one the other day. We served it with grilled octopus, and I added some chickpeas to it, a little garlic, and had with parsley, mint, basil. Yeah, just very, very nice. Now, of course, we've not talked about poultry yet, and even chicken, again, you know, probably pretty universal, or poultry at least. One of the nicest things I've ever had done outside in one of the kettle smokers was Cornish hens. Those are kind of cool because everybody gets one, or if you're serving many things, you can always split them. But they're easy to cook whole. They came out with nice and moist. They don't take a whole lot of time. A little, probably a little over an hour, depending on your heat. But these were done in the, again, in the kettle with the, on the rack with the liquid underneath, so they got stayed nice and moist. And very impressed, and especially if you, you know, if you don't like a lot of the dark meat, the Cornish hens are pretty much lighter meat. They're young chickens. They're hybrid, but the dark meat is not as dark as it would be in an older bird. So if you like mostly white meat, these are neat things to have. And I think cooking proteins like this on the bone, you're going to get more flavor anyway. And sometimes it takes a little longer, but you know, the bone is part of what gives things the flavor. But I was thinking, you know, chicken, of course, we used to do them up north, the on the big grills. You used to see you've probably seen pictures of Fireman's Field days. And some places have rotisseries, things like that. We would put 30 half chickens on a grill, and then you hold another one over top. You've got to flip them over. And once we got the fire going in the pit, it was pretty much just walking, you know, flipping them one at a time. And by the time you got to the end, you walked back to the beginning and started flipping them again. And we would cook the, they were 3-pound chickens, the half chickens. We would go for a good hour to make sure they were done. We would make sure, especially no pink showing, could be as long as an hour and 15 minutes because we didn't have the fire raging. It was a good slower fire. If you have too high a heat, you get the flare up. You get you know that burn that you really don't want. You want that. If you char the chicken up too much early, the skin, it's just going to get worse and worse. You got to at the end. We would only put our sauce on at the end. We would mop it on at the end. If you'd like to baste during, it's something better. Water based, vinegar based. With any kind of barbecued meats, so your mop sauce should not be exactly the same as your finishing sauce. Definitely don't want any sugar in your mop sauce. You don't want to caramelize until the end. But chickens spatchcocked, which means remove the backbone. This is where it, I think with the split chickens with the backbone take a little bit longer. When you take the backbone out, that you think of that. You know, that dark meat that has to the heat has to penetrate and cook there. The spatchcock or butterflied, whichever term you prefer. I know I do my Thanksgiving turkey. I could do a 16, 17, 18-pound turkey. I could do in about an hour and a half in a commercial oven, do it at 400 degrees. So when you do this, butterfly the chicken, and, again, you can go direct or indirect heat. I would like it a little bit slower. Again, make sure the meat's cooked, and then you can always, if you're using a gas grill, of course, turn it up at the end. Or if you're using the charcoal, just then rake the coals into the center and finish it off. But don't discount turkey if you like turkey. I think turkey thighs would be great on a barbecue. If you can find the turkey legs, usually when you think of turkey legs, people think of just the drumsticks. And those are good, but a little uneven to cook. If I was doing a whole turkey leg, I would do that, the thigh and the drumstick together. Again, if you don't want to have the bones in there, you can just bone out the thigh and bone out the drumstick and lay it open flat and cook it. It would cook kind of like your lamb leg. But even a small turkey, if you have enough grill space, you need, you know, probably, you know, 22 or so inches across. A small turkey, a 10 to 12 pounder, one of those, maybe a hen, take the backbone out. You could use a knife or use good old kitchen shears. You want to press it down, kind of snip the keel, the breastbone a little bit so it flattens out. But I'll tell you, I do Thanksgiving turkey very quickly, and even over a gas grill or a charcoal grill, you know, you're talking about an hour and a half or so. Cook up pretty quickly. And you would have then a nice kind of non-traditional barbecue. If you had a crowd, though, barbecue turkey, not bad. Plus your, you know, that white meat will stay nice and moist, too. It's a bigger piece. So, barbecue on 4th of July. Barbecue is an event style, and you can develop your own style. I know everybody has their favorite sauces, but I think just like making chili, right? Everybody's got their little favorite. And don't be afraid to take a sauce that's already made and doctor it up. You know, and I've done, even if most of those sauces are fat-free, I know that the sauce we would make for chicken, my barbecue sauce really has oil in it. It's not fat-free, but that's more for finishing, for basting at the end. It also works as a dip, and I'm not going to divulge the recipe, but it is tomato-based, and I don't add any extra sugar, and it does have oil and wine in it. It's almost like a thick tomato vinaigrette with a lot of different herbs in it. So play around, have some fun, spend some time, build a fire, hang out, and enjoy the 4th. Talk to you next week.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Protesters in Hong Kong storming the legislature there today, marking the anniversary of the return to Chinese rule. They used a metal cart, poles, and pieces of scaffolding to repeatedly slam into the building's reinforced glass, which finally broke. The demonstrations continuing to protest a proposed law that would allow people accused of crimes in Hong Kong to be sent to mainland China to be tried. After saying last week it would do so, Iran is confirming it's breached its enriched uranium stockpile limit, violating the 2015 deal it had reached with the United States and other major powers. The Islamic Republic's foreign minister making the announcement today in defiance of a warning from European nations that also signed that agreement that President Trump has since pulled the U.S. out of. This is USA Radio News.
Do you wish you could get better sleep and maybe lose a few pounds? Maybe more than a few pounds? Well, there's this product called Calitrin that helps with both sleep and weight loss. Just listen to what people are saying about it.
I've been taking Calitrin for right about 3 months, and I've lost 24 pounds and 19 overall inches. But my sleep has improved, I have so much more energy, and I have the desire to succeed more than ever. Anyone who needs weight loss, more energy, and better sleep, this product really does deliver.
Hi, I'm Roger. Over the 3 months that I took the product, my sleeping habits are increasingly much better. I got a better night's sleep, and I just can't say enough about the product and how it makes you feel. Also, additionally lost a little bit of weight on the program as well.
Hi, this is Erickson. I take Calitrin for weight loss, and I've lost about 20 pounds, and I feel great.
Calitrin is scientifically proven to help with sleep and weight loss safely and effectively. Check it out at toploss.com. That's toploss.com.
The central United States is in line for some severe thunderstorms today, with heavy rains and driving winds slamming a broad stretch of the country from northeastern New Mexico and West Texas into southern Minnesota and Wisconsin. The NTSB is beginning its review of evidence following the crash of a small plane in Texas on Sunday that killed all 10 people on board. Witnesses and some video evidence seem to indicate that the plane simply veered off just after it lifted off the runway at the Addison Airport, slamming into a hangar.
We cannot confirm that there was an engine failure at this point. There are any number of possibilities that could occur, and as I said, we're not in a position to speculate on those kinds of things.
That's Bruce Landsberg, the vice chairman of the NTSB. The Vatican reaffirming Catholic policy that priests cannot reveal what they've heard in confession, even if governments are trying to find out. And this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Reports say former White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders